Good morning, everybody. We'd like to give you a special welcome, especially our visitors that we have with us. Seems like you're going to be living in Las Vegas now from California. We welcome you and hope you come back with us. A few weeks ago, speaking of visitors, we had some visitors. It was probably a month or so ago now, and they had just come from the Grand Canyon. And they were just oohing and on about the Grand Canyon. If I remember right, they were from Missouri. And, you know, they were talking about what, you know, the flat area, the farmlands that they were from, and then seeing the Grand Canyon, just what an amazing sight that was. And the gentleman taught Bible classes, and he goes, there's a lesson in that. And I, you know, a few days later, I started thinking about that and what he said about that there's a lesson in seeing the Grand Canyon. And so today, that's what our lesson is going to be about, is lessons we can learn from the Grand Canyon. And I don't know how many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon. I know that I don't want to go out on that glass walkway that goes out over the, you know, I know I don't want to go on that, but I want us to look at some things that we as Christians can learn about the Grand Canyon, and in general, lessons that we should be able to learn about just everything in our day-to-day lives, that as Christians, we should be able to, whether it's the Grand Canyon, going to the grocery store, talking to our neighbors, there are lessons that we can learn from just about everything in how to be a better Christian. One of the things specifically about the Grand Canyon is you can learn there is a God. And it's not just unique to the Grand Canyon. You can see a sunrise, a sunset. You can look at a blooming flower, hear the birds chirping. And this point is driven home. There is a God. There's no disputing that. You look at God's creation, whether it's a rock or a sunrise, there is a God. Paul talks about this in Romans, the first chapter. The Romans were a culture steeped in idol worship, steeped in pagan idolatry. And Paul is telling the Christians in Rome who would come out of that about the world that God made, the world that they are in, that if you just look around, there is evidence and proof of God. He says in verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." This may be for another lesson, but not only can we look at God's creation, the things that God's hand, the things that God spoke into existence, but that last phrase, they are without excuse. We are not going to be able to say, well, nobody taught me the Bible. Nobody taught me about Jesus. Just by living in this world and looking around, whether it's the Grand Canyon or whether it's a flower, we can see God. And in that great and glorious day, there is not going to be an excuse, because God has surrounded each and every one of us with Him, with His power, with Himself. And the Grand Canyon is one of those. The Colorado River runs right through the middle of it. And Colorado River is a long river, I think, if I'm not mistaken, starts up in Colorado and ends down in Mexico. And in fact, we've been hiking a few times and ended up at the Colorado River, but it goes right through the Grand Canyon. And the river only goes one way. Only one way. It's not like at certain seasons, you know, if we're talking about forests or something, the trees may be a different color in a different time of year. Well, that river that goes through the Grand Canyon, the Colorado River, it only goes one direction. Ever. It's not like at different seasons it goes a different direction. It never changes course and goes the other way. That's like God's church. That's like the kingdom. We don't have to worry about things changing on us. In Ephesians 4, Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, and in verse 4 he says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling." There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We don't have to worry about there being different ways. This verse right here goes right against what many of our religious friends might promote or believe or even teach, that we're all going to the same place, but we're getting there in different ways. That is a very common teaching in the religious world. This verse that the Apostle Paul was inspired to write, he says there is one. There's only one God. There's only one Lord. There's one faith, one baptism. Religious friends of ours might believe in multiple. But it goes right against what the Bible teaches. Jesus himself, in talking with his disciples in John 14, Jesus said to him, "I am the way." The way. Not one of the many. I am the way. Recently, David Phillips was here, and in one of his lessons, and then in Mark's Bible class about hermeneutics, many times when a saying is given, it excludes all others. This is one of those. I am the way. Well, it doesn't say that there's not others. When Jesus says the way, it excludes all others. Amen. He is the truth. Doesn't change. It doesn't mean that truth for you can be acceptable and then truth for somebody else is acceptable. He says, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are many people that believe something different than this. That you can get to the Father, get to God, other than through Jesus. There are whole, we will call them religions, different religious thoughts that think that they can get to God the Father outside of Jesus. And it just can't be. Jesus himself says that there's not. Another aspect I'd like for us to look at is the Grand Canyon's easy to get down into and hard to get out of. I don't know if any of you have ever done the trail at the Grand Canyon or anything. You're walking downhill. You're following those trails, a lot of switchbacks. It's downhill. Oh, this is easy. And then you look back up. I got to go back up out of that thing. It's like sin. It's easy to fall into sin. It takes no effort at all. In fact, one wrong step at the Grand Canyon, you can get down into the canyon. One wrong step and gravity can take over. I'm not going to say that walking downhill, you're not going to be tired, but one step wrong, gravity can take over and you can be at the bottom. Be like Wile E. Coyote. Go out over that thing and then all of a sudden, looking around, whoosh, you're down. But getting out of it takes a lot more effort. And that's sin in our life. It's easy to fall into sin. Easy. The devil makes it easy. The devil even makes some of the sin fun. Easy to get caught up into sin. But sometimes it is a struggle to climb out of it, to get out of what was so easily that you got into. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, Paul is explaining this very concept. And he's giving a warning to not only the Christians in Corinth, but that warning is for us too. He says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Sometimes when you're the most confident, that's when you've got to look out. I've heard of stories where people have fallen off the ledge at the Grand Canyon simply taking a picture. Somebody's taking a picture and they're wanting to get close to the edge, and the next thing you know, they're over the edge. They are so confident. They're standing on firm ground one moment and tumbling down the next. That is sin in our lives. It's safe to say most of us don't wake up in the morning and have on our list of things to do sin. Probably safe to say. If you do, let's talk and have a little study about that. If your plan is to sin on a certain day, let's have a little discussion, okay? We can do it privately. But most of us don't start out the day thinking, I want to sin. A lot of times we stumble into it. We let our guard down. We are deceived. We are taken by surprise because we're not aware. We're not being careful. And that's what Paul is saying. Let him who thinks he stands take heed so we don't fall into that trap. In the next book to the Corinthians, he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul wrote, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul is worried. He understands the gospel is simple. It's not written on, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand God's saving grace. I'll tell you this. I figured it out. And I'm not the brightest one in the room. I'm not even the brightest one in the car when we come to church. But I could figure it out. The simplicity. Paul was worried that they would be deceived from the simplicity of the gospel. And he's telling us that today. Another aspect of the Grand Canyon that we can apply to our church family or the church in general, not just us. There's a lot of spectators. People come from all over the world to go to the Grand Canyon, all over the United States, all over the world. Millions of people go there every year to see the Grand Canyon. But there's very few workers. There's very few workers compared to the visitors at the Grand Canyon. One thing that I pick up on by talking to different preachers from different congregations is this is something that's not unique at any given congregation. There's a lot of spectators, but few workers. It is generally kind of accepted that most of the work in any given congregation is done by a small percentage of the people. And that's not here. That's not in any certain kind. That's just all over. We need to make sure we don't see our worship as a spectator sport. When we come to worship, we are participating. We are part of the worship. We are part of the singing. We are part of studying God's word. We are part of the Lord's Supper. That's what's so great about it. That's why God wanted us to come together, to participate together. I could have stayed at home and studied the word of God. I could have stayed home and participated in the Lord's Supper. I could have taken the Lord's Supper. I could have sung songs. It wouldn't have sounded as good as with other people. But I could have sung songs. I could have participated in all those things except the fellowship. Except the being together with our brothers and sisters. Participating. Being a Christian is not a spectator sport. It's not something that you go and sit and watch. You do. You participate in. Matthew 9:37, Jesus, it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That concept is not unique to today. Jesus saw that. That there's so many things to do. The harvest, there's so many people to reach. And it is ripe. There's just so few people to get to them. Jesus saw that in his day. One thing we can always say about the Grand Canyon, it's always there. A great compliment that I could give a Christian is that they're always there. You can count on them. People could travel from Massachusetts to go to the Grand Canyon and count that it's going to be there. They could come from Japan. They could come from Germany. They could come from South America and count on that it's there. Is there any better compliment that you could have about yourself? So-and-so is always there. They can be counted on. We can always count on so-and-so. Hebrews 10, you should know this verse by now. You should have this memorized. I should put a blank screen and let you quote it. We hear it so much. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Some forsake the assembling together, and then there are others that are always there. You can count on it. Just like you can count that the Grand Canyon is going to be there, just like you can count that the sun is going to rise in the east and set in the west. It was said back in the 30s that you could count that the sun was going to rise in the east, set in the west, that Roosevelt was going to be president, and Lou Gehrig was going to be first base for the Yankees. Set a record for I think it's 2,130 games in a row that he was first base for the Yankees. There's some people you can count on always being there. Just like the Grand Canyon, you can count on people. And it's going to outlast us. It was here before us, and it's going to be here long after us. In Daniel chapter 2, we see Daniel prophesying about the coming of the kingdom of the Lord's church. Earlier in Daniel, or earlier in chapter 2, it talks about that there's going to be four earthly kingdoms. This is not something that, oh, yeah, you can apply that to just about anything. Historians, people that don't even believe in Christ, historians agree that those four kingdoms in ancient times that were above all others were the Babylonian kingdom, the Medo-Persian kingdom, the Greek empire of Alexander the Great, and that of the Roman Empire. And Daniel 2:44 says, and in the days of these kings, talking about the fourth kingdom, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That's the kingdom Christ established. Jesus said so in Matthew 16, verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, and Peter had just, what this rock is talking about was his confession, just two verses earlier, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And his church was built during the days of those kings that Daniel prophesied about. The Grand Canyon is there. Not only its beauty, but its lessons. I hope that this has given you something to think about, something to open your eyes. It did me. The lesson is yours. I leave you with this as we go into this new week. Look for the lessons in the common things that we encounter. Whether it be experiences we go through, people we encounter, or just our day-to-day life. There are lessons for each of us that we can learn to be a better Christian. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to be baptized, if you need to repent of sin in your life, if you need to ask for prayers, we are more than happy to assist you If you're looking for a church home, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known as we stand and sing.